आसाद्य देवं गिरिशं यदृच्छया asatyadevam girisam yadrichaya
prapu param nunamata prachetasa
prapu param nunamata prachetasa.
Translation. Translation. My dear Bhagaspatya, what did the sons of King Bharhisa, known as the Prachetas, obtain after meeting Lord Shiva, who was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of liberation? Certainly they were transferred to the spiritual world, but apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All types of material happiness are obtained in this life or in the next, on this planet or on another. The living entity wanders within the material universe in so many species of life and so many planetary systems. The distress and happiness obtained during the span of life are called Iha, and the distress and happiness obtained in the next life are called Paratra. Iha Paratra. Actually, Lord Mahadev Shiva is one of the great demigods within the material world. Generally, his blessings are bestowed on ordinary people. As a means for attaining material happiness. The predominating deity of this material world, Durga, is under the control of Lord Mahadev, Girisha. Thus, Lord Mahadev can offer anyone any kind of material happiness. Generally, people prefer to become devotees of Lord Ganesh to obtain material happiness. But the Prachetas met Lord Mahadev by providential arrangement. Lord Mahadev instructed them to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he personally offered a prayer. As stated in the previous verse, Rudra Gitena, simply by chanting the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to Vishnu, the Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world. Sometimes devotees desire to enjoy material happiness also. Therefore, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee is given a chance to enjoy the material world before his final entrance into the spiritual world. Sometimes the devotee is transferred to a heavenly planet, to Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, and so on. However, a pure devotee never aspires for any kind of material happiness. The pure devotee is consequently transferred directly to Vaikuntha Loka, which is described here as Param. In this verse, Vidura asks Maitreya, the disciple of Brihaspati, about the different achievements of the Prachetas. Omagya tirandasya yananjana shalakaya shurun militam jena tasmai shirubhe nama mukam kardo tivachalam pongum langayate girim yakrupa tamaham bande shri guru dinataram shri rupa shri sanatana vata runa shri jiva gopal vata dasara runa shri chaitanya mano vishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa tadamayam narati sabarangam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Hridayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Govind Vishayama Tava Sinjarikanata Karma Namana Sagira Krishna Gante Tavai Vasmi Yuvame Bhavatir Mama Govinda Valavedate Hipartye Mamam Sada Twariya iti jamatu govindo mam dvayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadishe karunamrita vahini kripaya nija padarja dasyam mayam pradiyatam tavai vasmi tavai vasmi najivami tvaya vina iti vidyaya devitvam nayamam charanantikam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyai pacha Tanam Bhavani Yo Vaishnavi Yo Namo Namaha. So, the Guru is asking Maitreya. The disciple of Brihaspati, Varahaspatya, about the attainment of the Prachetas after having darshan of Lord Mahadev, of Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport that, and the question is that. He says, certainly they must have gone back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Certainly they have achieved prapu param. Param is supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna tells Krishna, param brahma, param dharma, pavitram, param bhavam. Says, you Krishna are Param Brahma. You are the supreme Brahman. Elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that Brahman rests in me. It is dependent upon me. So everything is Brahman, but there is something called supreme Brahman. This floor is also Brahman. Book stand is Brahman, this microphone stand is Brahman. We are also Brahman. Who are we? We are Atma in this body. So the body is Brahman and we are also, Jiva is also Brahman. But we can see here that we can apply Viveka. Viveka means discrimination. We can apply discrimination to understand different types of Brahman. The floor of Brahman is matter. Spirit of Brahman, Jivatma, is Divya. It is transcendental. It is spiritual. So it is different from matter. Understanding the difference between matter and spirit, that is the beginning of spiritual understanding, of spiritual knowledge. In the Gita, Krishna says, Bhumirapo nalobayor kamano bhujanevacha ahankara vimunatma ahankara iti yame vina prakritirastada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are different types of my separate material energy. Different types of matter. And then in the following verse, he says, apareyam itastvam yam. Prakritin vidhi maker, jiva bhuta mahabaho, yayetam dharyate jagat. Superior to this eight elements I have described, superior to this material energy is jiva, the living entity. That is spirit, that is you and me, atma. Superior to this matter is jiva, jiva bhuta mahabaho. What is he doing? What is that atma doing? Yayate daryate. It is trying to enjoy jagat. It is trying to enjoy the material nature. So because atma is superior to matter, then we can manipulate it. We can control it. Yeah? We take possession of this book stand. The back book stand doesn't take possession of us. Because we are the superior energy. aparayamitasvamya prakritim vidimekaram jiva bud. There is another energy of mind called jiva that dominates matter, tries to enjoy matter. But this jiva is conditioned by material identification. This jiva is illusion. So is this jiva Supreme Brahman? No. Because Supreme Brahman is never conditioned by illusion. That means that matter is Supreme Brahman. So this jiva is superior to matter, but nonetheless it has become conditioned. It thinks of itself as matter. Yeah? I think I'm this body. I think I'm a man. I think I'm a New Zealander, or an Australian, or young, or old, rich, or poor. These are all identifications with matter. So how can this jiva be Supreme Brahman? Cannot be. Can Supreme Brahman ever be illusioned? No. Can Supreme Brahman ever come under the influence of Maya? No. So there is another Brahman that is never illusioned. That is the Supreme Brahman. That is the Supreme Lord. And the nature of jiva is to serve that Supreme Lord. Jivair sarupahoy krishner nityadas. So that is Param Brahma. And now, where is Param Brahma situated? Where is Param Brahma situated? Param Brahma, okay, within our hearts as well, within every atom, Param Brahma is everywhere. But Param Brahma also has his own abode. And that abode is always looked up to by the Devas, by the Devas. The Veda states, Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pasyanti Suraya Diviva Chakshura Tatam Tad Viprasa Vipanyavoja Dhruvadam Satsavindate. Rig Veda, I believe. That the Devas, the Suras, they're always looking upward to Param Param, to the Supreme Destination. Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pasyanti, to see. Suraya, the Suras, the godly people. Gita has a long description of the Sura and Asura, the divine and demoniac nature. So the Sura is looking upwards. Sura Pasyanti Suraya. With what type of eyes? With diviva chakshura patam. With divine eyes. Means with the eye of knowledge, with the eye of Shastra. They know from Shastra that there is a paramparam. There is a supreme destination. And the suras, the divine, they want to attain that. So, Maitreya is saying to Vidura that Vidura is saying to Maitreya, certainly after being blessed by Lord Shiva and chanting his prayer, Shiva's prayer in glorification of Vishnu, these prachetas, they have achieved that place. They have achieved that param destination, supreme destination. So that we are also aspiring for. We are aspiring for that param destination. It is called Vaikuntha, means the place without anxiety. It is called Goloka. Goloka Vrindavan. That is the planet, the supreme planet in the spiritual sky where Krishna eternally performs his pastimes. So the aspiration of the devotee is to end Mrityu Samsara, the cycle of birth and death, and return to Vaikuntha, return to, even within Vaikuntha, return to Goloka. Because Vaikuntha, it is a very expansive domain. There are millions of Vaikuntha planets where different forms of Narayana are performing their pastimes, being served by devotees. Lakshmi Narayana. Within that great expanse of space, the material nature is said to be as a cloud that covers just one small portion, one quarter. So three quarters are Vaikuntha. We have our little universe within that one quarter of that material cloud of Mahaprabhu. So Vaikuntha is unlimited. Within Vaikuntha there is Goloka Vrindavan, the planet of Sri Krishna. And as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is that place to which we aspire. Nonetheless, Vidura is saying that certainly, after having received the prayers of Lord Shiva, which they chanted in glorification of Vishnu to invoke his blessings, what did they attain in the material world, either in this life or in the next? So it's an interesting question. Even though they are great devotees, even though they are achieving the supreme destination, still, in the meantime, they are connected with this material world. So what happens with them in the meantime? And Srila Prabhupada explains how sometimes devotees desire to enjoy material happiness also. Therefore, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee is given a chance to enjoy the material world before his final entrance into the spiritual world. Sometimes the devotee is transferred to the heavenly planets, such as Jataloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, and so on. So, this is very relevant to all of us. Why, after they have achieved the blessings of the Lord, they've had darshan, shakshat darshan, face-to-face darshan with Lord Shiva, they've received his prayers, they've glorified Vishnu, received Vishnu's blessings, and certainly been assured of a place in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. Still, what happened with them in the material world? While they are still here, if they have any desires to enjoy the material world, even after having had Lord Vishnu's darshan, Lord Shiva and Vishnu's darshan. So, Krishna is very merciful. Dhruva Maharaj, he had a great ambition and he approached Krishna, he approached Vishnu, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, to achieve a kingdom greater than his father's. And when he finally had the darshan of the Lord, he said, actually, I don't want that kingdom. I just want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to be your devotee. He said, I was searching for broken pieces of glass. Now that I've found you, I have found the most rare and valuable, precious jewel. And the Lord said that even though you don't want your kingdom anymore, now that you have seen me, you have had my darshan, you are satisfied, you just want to serve me alone, still I want to give you a kingdom. I will give you a kingdom greater than your father's. So his father ruled the entire earth, So how is it possible to get a kingdom greater than somebody who rules the entire earth? The Lord gave him Dhruva Loka, the pole star, that is also the place where there is the Kshirasagar, the ocean of milk. In fact, it is the Lord's own abode. Kshirasagar Vishnu rests on the ocean of milk. That is where his abode is, and within this material world. So it is Vaikuntha expanded into the material world. And the Lord offered Dhruva, that will be your kingdom. I'm resident there, but you will be the king. So even today we call that star as Dhruva Loka. We could call it the abode of Narayana, Kshirasagar Vishnu within this world, but it is called as Dhruva Loka. So even though he had no material desire, still the Lord wanted to give him that place. Similarly with Prahlad Maharaj, another small boy that was the recipient of the affection of the Lord. After killing of Hiranyakashipu, the tyrant, Hiranyakashipu, Narasimhadev said to Prahlad that, now you ask me something, ask some benediction from me. Prahlad said, I don't want anything. I just want to serve you. I just want to love you. Same as Dhruva. He had this complete fulfillment, complete satisfaction. And Lord Narasimha said, I want to give you something. I want to give you. Ask me. And I don't want anything. Ask me. So Prahlad, he's very... he is a Mahatma. Mahamana means he thinks of others. So he said one thing. My father was such a rascal, such a sinner. He was such an offender towards Vaishnavas and to Lord, towards you. Please give him your mercy anyway. Please assure me that he will return to Vaikuntha as well. Narasimhadev said, it is done. It is already done because you are such a great bhakta. But then Narasimhadev installed Prahlad as the king. He didn't say, so Prahlad, now you are completely purified, you have had my shakshad darshan. Now you return to Vaikuntha. No, he made him as a king. Brahmaji performed the coronation ceremony. What a greater coronation event than Brahma himself placing the crown upon Prahlad's head. And so Prahlad ruled. He ruled one of the lower regions of this universe. And later, Vamandev became his personal doorkeeper, security guard. When Bali Maharaj surrendered everything, oh, that was Bali. Vaman became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper. That was not correct. So Prahlad, he ruled. Narasimhadev made him as a king. So why is the Lord giving Dhruva a kingdom, giving him rule of the pole star? Why is he giving Prahlad a kingdom? When a devotee is niskinchana, when a devotee doesn't desire anything but to serve the Lord, and these two devotees specifically said, we don't want anything. And still, the Lord insisted on giving them huge opulence. Not just some opulence, but enormous. Enormous opulence. Similarly with Yudhisthira Maharaj. Yudhisthira Maharaj was encouraged by the Lord to perform the Raja Surya Yajna. To establish his his role as the emperor of the earth. And that involved confrontation with other rulers. Anyway, people accepted Yudhisthira Maharaja's authority, but there were some rulers that didn't. Jarasandha had to be eliminated. And otherwise, Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadeva, they traveled with armies across the earth to establish Yudhisthira Maharaja's rule. Later on, that was taken from Yudhisthira, and there was a Kurukshetra war to re-establish Yudhisthira's reign. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's having Shaksha Darshan of the Lord. He's a pure devotee, and yet there is an aspiration for kingdom. So how do we understand these things? There are two things to understand. In some cases, the Lord wants Dhruva, wants Prahlad, wants Yudhisthira to rule, to have opulence, to establish the Lord's own glory. To establish his own glory here on earth or here in this material world. Sri Krishna also bestowed great opulence upon Sudama. And that story is forever carried in the hearts of the devotees and narrated with great relish. It establishes Krishna's glory. When the person of authority is a bhakta, and they can lead by example, they can lead the citizens, they can lead the people in towards Krishna in a proper direction. So that is very beneficial for others, very beneficial for society, very beneficial for people in this world. And so sometimes the Lord chooses to give great opulence to his devotee. The Lord bestowed great opulence upon Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he had 108 temples across the earth. Each temple with dozens of devotees and vehicles. And Prabhupada would, when he was in India, Prabhupada would talk about this. Prabhupada would say, yes, we have temples all over. Each temple we have so much. How much money are we making on average? He'd ask his secretary. So much. He would say it publicly. Because it impresses the materialistic people. Krishna's opulences are strength, beauty, fame, wealth, renunciation. So wherever these qualities are present, we are drawn, we are attracted. Someone's beautiful, we are attracted. Someone's wealthy, we are attracted. Someone's famous. These are Krishna's qualities. So they are attractive, whoever has them. And so sometimes Krishna, he gives his own qualities to his devotee, that the devotee will be attractive. And people will follow. People may also recognize a representative. Sri Ramachandra gave something to Hanuman. What did he give him? Some say a ring, some say a necklace. Gave him some ornament when he went to meet Sita. Sita had never seen Hanuman before, at least in that. In the Leela, she had never seen Hanuman before. How does she know he's from Ram? When Hanuman finally revealed himself, she was afraid. You are some Rakshasa, talking monkey. You assume some funny shape to scare me. Hanuman had already softened her, put her mind at ease by hiding in a tree and singing Ramayana. He knew if he just went before her, she would get shocked. So he sings Ramayana from the tree. Sita's hearing the glories of Rama, the whole story, what happened, the exile, the different activities in the forest, how she's kidnapped. She's listening to this beautiful scene of Ramayana. She says, who's singing the glories of my Lord? Come out from the shadows, whoever you are. Hanuman jumped from the tree. Huh? Who are you, Ravana? This is another of your disguises. You came as a sadhu, disguised as a sadhu to kidnap me. Now are you disguising yourself as some monkey creature? No, Mother, I am Hanuman. I am sent by Lord Rama. How can I trust you? How do I know? I have something. You recognize it. You recognize this. Yes. That was given on my wedding day. By my father, I think. Something like that. It was a familiar piece of, it was a familiar ornament. So she knew he is a messenger. So sometimes Krishna, he gives some of his ornaments to his devotees. Familiar ornaments. Similarly with the Braja Gopis, when Uddhava Prabhu returned to Braj, to not return, visited, first time visit, visited Braj as Krishna's messenger. Krishna was residing in Mathura as Mathurna, Madhupati. And the residents of Vrindavan were feeling intense separation from Krishna. And Krishna was in Mathura feeling intense separation from the residents of Vrindavan. So he sent his cousin, his dearest associate and friend, Uddhava, as a messenger. You go and appease. You go and appease and console my family and friends and associates and the people of Raja. You go and put their hearts at ease. You tell them something about what I'm doing, how I am, that I'm well, offer them my humble obeisances. You put their hearts at ease, you dry their tears of separation from me. So Uddhava, he's most trusted ambassador to Krishna. He went to Braj, and when he arrived there, the residents of Vrindavan, they initially thought Krishna has come. Krishna has come. They saw that he wears the same clothes as Krishna. They saw that he is wearing Krishna's garland. They saw that he's wearing Krishna's ornaments. He looked very much like Krishna, but then he wasn't Krishna. Closer examination, he wasn't Krishna. He was riding Krishna's chariot. All of Krishna's, his car, his clothes, his ornaments, everything was Krishna's, but he's not Krishna. But he must be coming from Krishna. Otherwise, how is it that he has all of Krishna's opulences? So they trusted him, the trusted representative, and they treated him as they would treat Krishna. They felt, to some extent, they felt consoled as if Krishna himself were with them. For some of the residents of Vrindavan, that was the case. For the gopis, they were unconsolable. But when Uddhava Prabhu visited Vrindavan, it was a festival. For that time he stayed there for some months, it was a festival. People felt some consolation in their troubles. The Braj Gopis he couldn't console, particularly Srimati Radharani. He read a letter to them from Krishna. That Krishna said, actually I'm everywhere. And the yogis, they find peace by meditating, by finding me and meditating upon me within the heart. That was Krishna's letter. Uddhava tried to explain it to them. This is the yoga process, jnana process, jnana marga. You find the Lord within the heart. You understand that the Lord is present within every atom, between every atom. And in that way, you can see everything. You can be sama, you can be peaceful, you can be equipoise. So you try this. Uddhava Prabhu was a great jnani. Bhakta, but influenced by jnana. So he explained very logically how they could become free of suffering. And the gopis reprimanded him. Ha! You fool! Can this compare with Krishna's loving embrace? Can finding Paramatma within the heart compare with seeing the sweetness of Krishna's smile? Can it in any way compare with hearing the sound of his flute? Hearing the sound of his voice as he tells jokes or jokingly insults us? Can it compare with him trying to catch us in his arms? You don't know anything about loving Krishna. That's why you're giving us such useless advice. Only someone who doesn't know anything about loving Krishna would give such advice, would give such instruction. You think you can come here and teach us jnana, teach us to be peaceful, finding Paramatma, and that will in any way satisfy? But you are greatly mistaken. And Uddhava was shocked. He was shocked. He was startled. He is very wise, very intelligent. Kings, they want to have his advice. He is the advisor for all the Yadu kings. Their administrative decision making, they call him. What should we do? He speaks something, they write it down. Yes. The wise Uddhava has spoken. But these village girls of Braj, he gave them very high Upanishadic teaching that the yogis struggle to understand and practice, and they rejected it with a higher understanding. And he became humbled. He became humbled. He said, Krishna, you sent me on an impossible mission. You'd go there and stop them from crying. He says, this crying, this love of the gopis, of the residents of Vrindavan, it is the highest spirit, it is the pinnacle of spiritual advancement, of spiritual realization. Don't stop crying, cry more. I have learned something. That crying for Krishna, that is the highest spiritual realization. And being peaceful in discovering Paramatma, that is something lesser. So cry more. He prayed he prayed, let me become a blade of grass in Braj. Let me become a blade of grass so that I will get the foot dust of these devotees whose love for Krishna is so intense. It is so simple, and it is the highest, the most simple and yet the most difficult. The yogis cannot even dream of this, as Brahma Sanghita says. They cannot even get a glimpse of the toe of the Lord by their yoga and pranayama. Vayodatapi manaso muni pungala nam sopyasti gatrapadi sinyavichintya tatve govindamari purusham tamaham jasmi. He came to Braj with Lakshana, with qualities, with paraphernalia, with ornaments that enable people to recognize him as a representative. So similarly, Prahlad, similarly, Dhruva, similarly, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and similarly, even any Vaishnava. The Lord's qualities are many. So other Vaishnavas, they will, the Lord will give them another opulence of his to carry. Maybe it is renunciation. That is more common amongst Vaishnavas. So in some instances it is great opulence. Maharaj Prataparudra, also a great Vaishnava, very opulent. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he had the greatest renunciation. That is also very attractive. Yeah? Someone's very opulent, we are attractive. Someone is very renounced, we are attractive. So Rup, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, these Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're most renounced. Particularly Chaitanya Charitamrita describes in great detail the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's very attractive. We marvel at it. We marvel at someone's wealth, we marvel at someone's renunciation. These are both Krishna's qualities. These are both lakshanas that the devotee may carry. So in the case of the Prachetas, what happened? Yeah, certainly they went back to Godhead, but in the meantime, what happened? Iha paratra. In this life or the next, maybe they took another birth. Narada Muni, you might be saying that certainly they're liberated, then why are they taking another birth? Narada Muni, he was a small boy who had darshan of the Lord. Shakshat darshan of the Lord. And then the Lord said that for the rest of his life you will not see me again. But after that, you will attain a very elevated state. So he became Narada. So the Lord may do so many wonderful things with his devotee, with his surrendered devotee. He may give them a kingdom. He may keep them as very renounced. He may decide that they will take another birth. What happened with Maharaj Chitraketu? Chitraketu Maharaj was a great king with great opulence, with how many wives? A million. 100,000 wives? A lot. We marvel at Krishna's wife, 16,108. Maharaj Chitraketu either had 100,000 or was a million, I'm not exactly sure. He had a lot of wives, a lot of queens. And the paradox, he couldn't have a child by any of them. Blame the wives. Anyway. blamed the wife, but he kept getting another wife to have a child, but maybe it was him. Anyway, eventually he had a child, he was very happy, but then very sad. His child's name was Harsha Shoka, happiness, sadness, happy, sad. I think any mother knows that whether they name the child happy, sad or not, that is the way things are. Harsha Shoka. But then, by the grace of Narada, he got profound realization. He had also Shakshad Darshan with the Lord, with Lord Shankarshan. Ruled as a great devotee, but then was cursed. Although he has had Shakshad Darshan of the Lord, now he was cursed by Parvati. You become a demon. He's already liberated. He's already had darshan of the Lord. Already liberated. But you become a demon. How did he respond? Okay, Mother. I thank you. You have, by cursing me like this, you have shown your affection for me. Because the mother, she'll reprimand her child if they do something naughty to teach them. So it is your kindness that you have cursed me. And he left. And Shiva laughed at Parvati. He said, he has done better than you. This is the devotee of Narayan. You were so angry and you cursed him. And he took your curse as a blessing, as your kindness. Narayana pura sarve nakutashtana divyati svarga pavarga narake apitu yata darshanam. Whether in heaven or hell, the devotee of Narayana is happy. Because they are remembering the Lord, they are having darshan of the Lord. So although liberated, he has become a demon. But for the devotee, it is no issue, actually. As a demon also, he's liberated. The terrible Vritasura, Indra's heart quivered in fear on seeing this enormous giant of a demon with copper hair and copper eyes. Indra almost fell off his elephant, Airavata. Wanted to run away. Richard Sir said, hey Indra, come back. To your duty. You're supposed to be a king. You're supposed to be a leader. That is your duty. Whether you are afraid or not, you should do what you're supposed to do. Come here and fight me and kill me. That's your job. Do it as a service. Yeah, do it as a, that's your service. Your service is to rule. My service is to fight you. So he's a demon, but speaking instruction about devotion. This instructs us. This benefits us. So the Lord may do so many things with his devotee. And therefore we pray, even to our spiritual master. Chakudan vilaye janme janme prabhu se. Birth after birth, I am your servant, you are my master. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatan Bhakti Rahaituki Twayi. Birth after birth, let me have exclusive devotion for you. Bhavatan Bhakti Rahaituki, exclusive devotion. Causeless devotion, to you for you. So then what are we aspiring for? We are aspiring to please Krishna, to love Krishna, whatever that may be, whatever that may mean. We're not aspiring for Vaikuntha or Goloka or ending the cycle of birth and death. We are aspiring to love Krishna and to serve Krishna, however that may, however he may choose to engage us. Now the Lord may also choose to, according to our material, to whatever attachments are still there lingering, may choose to put us in different situations for our own purification. So he fulfills his purpose. He also to instruct others and benefit others. He also fulfills the purpose of purifying us. Because no matter how advanced you are, this is an important point. Loving Krishna is unlimited. So you can get more and more intense expressions of that. So even if you are a pure devotee, there are still opportunities for increasing that love. The example, I mean, there are unlimited examples in Bhagavatam, but if we take who are the greatest devotees, they are the gopis of Vrindavan. And yet Krishna made arrangements to intensify their love by leading them in the Rasalila. Who can dance with Krishna in Rasalila? Nobody. Brahma cannot hope to do that. Shiva cannot hope to do that. Indra cannot hope to. Lakshmi herself performed penance and austerity. She couldn't get in there. So these are the best of the best devotees. And yet, Krishna is still working with them to increase their affection. Still making arrangements to make them even more pure devotees, although they are the purest. So this is a paradox of the spiritual world. That although Radha's love, it is the purest, Kaviraj Goswami said, although her love is the purest, it still increases. It is the highest and yet it increases. Although it is the purest, it is the most humble. Okay, so we're out of time, so we'll conclude there. One question.
When you say Krishna has got six appearances, one of them is renunciation, but we see he is also loving. So how can these two go together? Loving and
loving. So you're thinking that Raghunath is suffering? And therefore he's not receiving the Lord's love. Is that the assumption of your question?
Not exactly.
That the renunciant is suffering, and therefore how can Krishna be loving if these people are suffering?
Not that. Actually, what I think that we have seen Krishna in other appearances he shows it. Yeah. But when it comes to renunciation, like we see the devotees, how they renounce, we don't see it in the Krishna's past
tense.
So how to understand this renunciation of Krishna?
Oh, Krishna left the Rasalila. They are the most beautiful women in the universe. And he left. And who could do that? Huh? The most beautiful women in the universe, they're there for him. In the middle of the night, in the forest. And they're completely devoted to him. And he walked away. That's an example. How could he do that? How could he do it? He was the most renounced. Why did he do it? Why did they confront him? Why did you do this? You're callous. No, I'm not callous. I did it out of love for you. I want to be with you. But best for you is that I walk away and increase your affection. So that is his renunciation, that he can walk away because it is the best for them. One example. Yes?
The That's not question, bro. Thank you for a nice clap. Shall an aspiring devotee pray to Lord Shiva for devotion?
When I was challenged in this part, yeah, in my ultimate of Shiva, I worship Giridhar, but on the side there's a Shiva. He came to me by his arrangement, and because I chant many prayers, and one prayer that I chant is a prayer by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, where he says, Vrindavanam Haripate Jaya Soma Soma Mule Sanaka Sundana Sanatana Narani Ya Gopesh Vada Vajavilasi Yugandri Parne Prema Prayacha Nirupadi Namo Namaste. He says, O Gopeshwar Mahadev, protector of Vrindavan, protector of the Lord's own place, please be very merciful and allow me to enter. And you're the protector, so I need to get by the security guard. Please give me access. To get in. So I was chanting that for 6 months, and then one day in Jaipur, after I'd been chanting that for 6 months, I was taking a bath in a tank, a lake, a holy lake at Galta. And one son dove into the water. He was meditating on the bank of the lake and dove into the water, surfaced right next to me. And while he was underwater, he had found a Shivalinga on the floor of that tank. He surfaced right next to me and put it in my hand. So I asked him, the Dunbars, what should I do? He said, you have to worship it because Mahadev came to you by his own desire, his own arrangement. I started the puja the next day, and I didn't know that that day was Shivaratri.
Oh,
yeah. So in my house there is Lord Shiva being worshipped. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited Shiva temples. There is a prayer, Shivastakam, it's not recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I think Chaitanya Mangala, some other biography. Not one of the standard biographies, but has this Shivastakam that they say was chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he visited one of those Shiva temples. Namo namaste Chudaseshwaraya Bhutari Nathaya Mrtaya Nityam. Like that, 8 verses. So Vishwanath is praying to Lord Shiva, asking for access into Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami used to live. His place of bhajan in Braj was always next to a Shiva temple. In Govardhan, he would do his bhajan next to Chakleshwar Mahadev. Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir is there. In 5 major Shivalingams in Digpals, protectors of Raj in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan there's Gopeshwar Mahadev, in Govardhan is Chakleshwar Mahadev, in Nanagram is Nandeshwar Mahadev, in Kamyavan is Kameshwar Mahadev, in Mathura he is Nikki Bhuteshwar Mahadev, but I can't remember. Sanatana Goswami would do the bhajan always next to one of those deities. So Vaishnavas, they pray with that mood, Vaishnava Anamrita Asamu. That is a great Vaishnava. When we pray like that, it is no harm. It is not just no harm, it is beneficial. We pray to any Vaishnava. Any Vaishnava enters the room, we will offer our obeisances. We will hear from them. So when we worship Shiva or any demigod, not just any, but any great personality like that, with that attitude, then it is only beneficial for bhakti. But if we think that they're equal to or dependent, that is an offense. So in other sampradayas, they're much more strict. Other Vaishnava sampradayas, there's a story in Srirangam that they were taking Ranganath on a procession around the temple compound. And one of the temples in that procession route is a Shiva temple. So it started raining, and they took the deity inside the Shiva temple to protect him from the rain. And the devotees followed the deity naturally. Ramananda said, out. Said the deity can visit his devotee and be sheltered in his temple, but you will not be going to any other person's home. Like a wife will not go to the home of another man. He said, you will not be going to anyone else's home. Narayan can visit his devotee, but not you. So they are much more strict. That they could be surprised if they saw on a Vaishnava's altar there's a Shiva with them.